Hare Krishna. Today's topic is the burkini. And if you don't know what it is and you don't have one, well, that's all right. But I'll still talk a little about it. And you may have read about it in the news. Burkinis seem to be a new thing I've recently heard about also. The swimming pool, the swimming clothes, excuse me, that women, Muslim women, wear on the beach or wherever they go going swimming, I assume swimming pool. And it's a full body dress, which very much resembles a underwater kind of clothes that called skin divers or deep sea divers wear, and from head to toe is covered, and they have a similar type of clothing for obvious reasons that they cover their bodies. I'm not quite sure how Vaishnavis go on beaches, because I'm not privy to that, and I would hope that it also reflects a similar type of thing. I don't mean burkinis, but for instance in Puri, when we're on the beach, you see that Indian women are, I don't think I've ever seen anyone in anything else other than some kind of clothing, full clothing, not like a burkini, but sort of the Indian equivalent, where women's bodies are covered. And that reflects, and of course the women, or at least that used to be like that in Puri, that the women and men were in different parts, different beaches or different parts of the beach. And that reflects a certain civilization, a certain culture, a culture where enjoying water doesn't mean exposing as much skin as possible and showing off your body, something which is very much characteristic of our modern hedonistic society, although it wasn't like that. Times were different. I'm not a historian of bathing suits, but I have pictures, family pictures, of women who are more or less completely covered, their bodies are completely covered, and men who are bathing, and they have actually a top as well, a sleepless top. In other words, even men didn't go on the beach exposing their bodies. Things have changed, obviously, over time. Question is whether we think that change is for the better or for the worse. And of course, burkini is something that's related to Islam, and terrorism is something that people connect to Islam, with Islam, and therefore it seems that stupidity has no limits in Kali Yuga, and it stretches to the realms of political leaders. Why not? So in places like south of France and Corsica, these clothes are banned, and you get fined, I don't know, so many hundred euros if you're wearing such apparel on the beach. Why? Because it may incite people to violence and puts them into a sense of paranoia, because you may be a terrorist, even though you're wearing very skin tight. It's still, you know, skin tight, and but still, you may be a terrorist, and people may be freaking out. Unfortunately, this is the repeated history of the world, where certain religions, minorities, ethnic groups, and so on, are targeted for one reason or another. For instance, like the Jews were in the beginning and middle of the last century. The cause of economic strife was all because of the Jews, because they were stealing everyone else's business. And as a result of that, we ended up with a Holocaust. Seems very, very improbable, isn't it? That from being envious that someone's a good businessman and makes a lot of money, or in theory they make a lot of money, not necessarily the case, it isn't that every Jew is a goldsmith, to the fact that you exterminate 6 million people. But you just make little steps, step by step by step, and like banning the burkini like one, and in due course of time, you can get anywhere. So it is actually a sense of a clash of culture, a clash of values. And where do we stand? Where do we stand as Vaishnavas? Sometimes we hear about this preaching in North America, some parts of North America, getting people to accept the Krishna consciousness movement because we're dressing dress in karmic clothes because it's more culturally acceptable, which is really misleading because in fact it's just the opposite. Everywhere throughout the Western world, be they rabbis, priests, nuns, etc., everyone has, all of these religious people have distinctive clothing, and everyone recognizes them as such, and that's what they're used to. So aside from academics who are generally all atheists, it seems really questionable as to who is it that such a dress code lack of a dress code and such a philosophy is really trying to appeal to, because it's certainly not the people of the modern world. That's not what they expect from gurus, swamis, religious leaders, and so on. But anyway, back to burkini. And so what culture is it that we, as members of the Krishna consciousness movement, represent? On what side of the divide do we actually stand? Are we trying to simply be acceptable to some group of people, or are we really out to make a change in society? And are we really out to stand beside our values, that we dress like this and we wear this tilak and we dress like this when we swim, we do this? Why? Because for us the emphasis is on not on making a big thing out of your body, but actually emphasizing our spiritual identity as spirit souls, and doing away with the body as being the most glorious thing in culture, and showing it off to everyone, either with our swimwear or general wear, and so on. And we want to be recognized for that. We want people to see that. We want people to immediately identify with that when they see us. Yeah, here's a Hare Krishna. When we do that, if we do that, and we continue with those values, then in due course of time, intelligent people, and if we're talking about appealing to intelligent people will come around and recognize the fact that this type of animal behavior, namely running around naked, is not something that is ultimately conducive for morality, being law-abiding, making people sane, what to speak of religious, and really robs people of the real values of life. So it's very interesting. I'm sort of following some of these things, how there are. It isn't that these Muslim ladies all of a sudden stop dressing like that on the beach. They continue to. And interestingly, how some non-Muslim people pay their fine because they don't believe that someone should be deprived of their rights in such an unjust way. But sticking by what we believe, be really clear about what it is that we really believe, and once we're clear about what we believe, sometimes there's confusion about that as well, then being clear about it. Certainly in Prabhupada's time we were quite clear about what we believe because Srila Prabhupada made it very clear to us. Anyhow, Hare Krishna and Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.